Well, after last night's heroics by Mona McSharry, Irish eyes will be focused on the Olympic swimming pool again tonight when Daniel Whiffen competes in the final of the 800 metres freestyle. He's the reigning world champion and has said himself that he'll be disappointed if he doesn't win a medal. Elsewhere, there were several Irish competitors in action this morning. Let's go to Damien O'Mara in Paris. Damien, three Irish boats taking part in the rowing today. How did they do?
It's been a mixed morning, Rachel. Good afternoon to you. The women's double sculls semi-final, Zoe Hyde and Alison Bergen, first out on the water from an Irish perspective this morning in the opening semi-final, a sixth place finish, but unfortunately well down the field, so they now go to the B final. Likewise, the women's four who went in the first of the two repechages, Emily Hegarty, Natalie Long, Emer Lam and Imogen Magner, fourth in a time of 6:38.10. That's also not enough to progress there into the B final. As well, but very good news for Philip Doyle and Dara Lynch, who've almost come in under the radar here in the men's double sculls. They were in the second of the two semi-finals. They won it in ease, with ease, in a time of 6:13.14. They are the fastest qualifier into the final, and certainly a pair around whom an awful lot has been spoken. Here's Philip's reaction after coming off the water.
Well, felt good, but I realised when we got on the machine there to cool down afterwards that the body was hurting. But I think if your body's not hurting coming through an Olympic semi-final, you're not doing it right. But Dara made some lovely calls through the race, executed the changes and pushed through where we wanted to push through. We knew some people had to give it a Hail Mary in the first 500, and that's, we just kind of let them do it and then worked our way back through. So that's exactly what we thought was going to happen, and it's nice to execute.
The confidence that you guys are just oozing race by race, like, you've got one to go, you must mentally and physically be in a really good place.
I think physically, yeah, we're in an amazing place. Like, we're the fittest we've been so far as a pairing. We obviously built up from last year, and like, things have just gone strength to strength, and the training numbers have been pretty good. But to be honest, we watched Mona's final last night, and the heart rate and the blood pressure were up high after watching that, so I had to get into the room. It was late enough, so I had to get into the room and get the heart rate down, get the body relaxed and try and get to sleep for today. So keeping calm is our main strength, because that's what you have to do in those situations, because the boat that keeps the head and has that mental clarity we always talk about, like, that's the one that'll make the right decision and push on.
And that was Philip Doyle speaking this morning. Damien, who else has been competing over the past couple of hours?
We have the hockey team currently in action. There's 4 minutes and 57 seconds left in the third quarter against India. Ireland trailing by 2-0. By the end of this afternoon, Ireland will have played the gold, silver and bronze medalists from Tokyo. They're in a very, very difficult pool. Four of the six teams will progress. Ireland have games against Argentina and New Zealand to come. They will be hoping to salvage points there to enable them to progress. Abigail Lyle is in action in the dressage. It's the Grand Prix team and individual qualifying day. She's in the individual. She's currently fourth in Group B of that competition, a total of 69.441. The top two in each of the two groups will progress, as will the next six best scores. So we're waiting for news of her progress there. We've had disappointment, however, this morning in boxing. Jenny Lahan made her Olympic debut in the women's 54 kilo, the round of 16 of the competition, drawn against the eighth seed Chinese Yuang Chang. Jenny losing on unanimous decision to end her campaign at its first hurdle.
I've worked so hard in the last few years to even get here, especially after the year I've had with the qualifications. I'm just blessed to be here, to be honest. It's been an amazing experience overall. Being with the world's best athletes over in the Olympic Village has just been incredible. I think I gave it my all in the ring there. I came up against a really experienced opponent. But I'll learn and I'll come again from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Olympic experience speaks a lot in this game. She's at her second game, so she knew what to expect coming into it. And she was just that little bit quicker on the draw to you.
Yeah, I think so. I think I gave a good second round there. I'm not too sure of the scores throughout the rounds, but I think she just got the better of me then at the end of the day. But no, it's been an honour to even step into an Olympic ring in front of such an amazing crowd. So no, I'm happy out now anyways.
Jenny Lahan there speaking to Siobhan Madigan this morning. It is, or has been rather, Damien, I think it's fair to say, a good week for County Armagh so far. Will there be more cause for celebration tonight?
There's a lot of people in County Down will claim Daniel Whiffen as well.
But yeah, he is listed
as Armagh in the media guide.
Yeah, he's from Mahoralyn, which is in County Down, and yet, having looked it up this morning, pretty much everywhere I looked, he was described as Armagh man, Daniel Griffin.
I went to the official Team Ireland media guide and he's listed as Armagh. So you and I won't fall out over that. But listen, the entire island will claim him this evening. I think there is going to be cause for celebration. Any of the metrics that you use to measure expectation in terms of form, in terms of times going into the final, in terms of times recorded over the course of the year. You mentioned at the outset of the programme, he has been quite bullish in knowing how good he can be and knowing how good he is relevant to the rest of the field. So I think there is a more than a cautious optimism, there's a strong optimism that we may have two medals in the bank come the close of play this evening.
You were talking this morning about warnings to spectators and athletes because of the heat, but listening to our news bulletin earlier, it sounds as though the weather may be about to have a further impact on the schedule.
It would appear to be the case. We had a yellow weather warning for the Paris area regarding high temperatures in the mid-30s. That certainly has materialised today. Other parts of France have an orange weather warning, which are temperatures around 40 degrees in some of the venues where there's soccer. There's a danger or a concern tonight around the impact of thunder and lightning and very, very heavy storms. So, for example, the canoe slalom and the kayak competitions, which are set to get underway in the afternoon, they have reduced the gap between the competitors competing. So the frequency of competitors is going to be increased. The turnaround between the rounds is going to be shortened. I think there is some suggestions that one or two of the other schedules over the course of the day might need to be tinkered with ever so slightly, particularly the sports that are taking place outdoors. So we're waiting to keep an eye on the elements. They're suggesting it could impact around 7 o'clock Parisian time. So I think it's a case of just waiting to see how things play out over the course of the day.
Damien, many thanks for that. Damien O'Mara there, who's in Paris. We're going to return now to the high point of this country's Olympics so far, and that bronze medal for Mona McSharry. Grace Mead was Mona's coach in the Marlin Swimming Club in Ballyshannon. She was at the pool last night and she's been telling me what it was like.
It was just unreal. You know, it was something we've planned for years and years, and to be here was just absolutely amazing. You know, because we weren't able to make it to Tokyo, but to be in Paris here is just something very, very special.
Will you bring us back to when you first met Mona? How quickly did it become clear that she had an unusual talent?
Mona would have joined Marlins, I'd say, back in 2010, 11. And she would have been in the club up until 2020 before she moved to Tennessee. So, you know, she was just the average kid that joined the club as a 9-10 year old. And over time, you could see with her attitude was exceptionally good. You know, in sessions, training sessions, she was always early. She always did exactly what was asked of her. Never missed a session. She was very much self-motivated and very, very determined from a young age when she was competing. Then, you know, she loved that competition element of it. And, you know, over the years then, as the program developed and Mona developed as a swimmer, we developed her program. And we reaped the rewards, as we say last night.
You certainly did. Can you give us an idea of the sort of sacrifices made by Mona, or indeed anyone who wants to compete at that level?
Yeah, there's a lot of sacrifices, obviously. You know, it's not for everybody, as they say. But as regards the training program, you know, you're training 6 days a week, two, if not three sessions a day. And you have to be, you know, watch your diet. You know, there's a lot more involved than just swimming up and down a swimming pool. You know, you have to sacrifice a lot of social outings, weddings. You know, over the teenage years, she wasn't out partying at discos and things. And she, you know, she gave up all that so she could train the next day and be ready to go again. And from a family perspective, you know, she's an incredible family. Her parents, Viola and Aidan, give her huge support over the years, you know, both financially and the sacrifices for family holidays, because when you train at this level, you're in swimming, you're training for 50 weeks of the year, you're only getting 2 weeks off. I mean, she has to do all the work. We just guide her.
I think it's fair to say that the entire country is enjoying her success. What does it mean to you and the club?
Oh, it's unbelievable, you know, for the club, because we're just a little small club in the Northwest, about 100 members in our club. You know, established for years and years. There's many, many coaches that have coached the club, and we're all volunteers in the club. And it's just really put our club on the map. You know, it's, as I say, it's a phenomenal for the kids in the area, not only for swimming, but, you know, for all the sports, to think that Mona trained in this little pool in Ballyshannon. You know, it's just a normal 25-metre pool. We didn't have any other fancy facilities. And, you know, she was able to become a and a medalist at the Olympics. So, you know, as we do always say, don't be afraid to dream big, kids. And once you give your best, you'll get what you deserve, you know. And it's all about giving that commitment. And it's just so inspiring for all the younger kids in as I say, all sports.
That was Grace Mead. Well, from a coach who's already tasted success to one who's hoping for big things tonight, Martin McGann coached Daniel Whiffen and his twin Nathan in Lisburn Swimming Pool. He's in Paris for tonight's final, and he told me about how they first met.
2016 in Lisburn, and it wasn't that long before I could see how special he was. Now, before the job, I went around coaches to talk to them who had been coaching with him, and they were kind of like, "Oh, you just wind him up and off he goes. He's not very good, and he was technically needed a lot of work, but I could see that he had some just, I suppose you could call them special attributes that kind of set them apart from other people. You know, you see some of them rarely along your life, but you're able to recognise them.
Mm-hmm. We've just been talking to Mona McSharry's teenage coach, the woman who coached her when she first started out in Ballyshannon. And she was talking about Mona's attitude and how it differed maybe from some other young people. Is that something that you encountered in Daniel?
Well, Daniel and Nathan would come into the pool deck, and they would have they obsessed about watching YouTube channels on swimming, and they always come in talking about, like, they come in, they talk in stereo because they're twins and that, and they were always talking about swimming, world class swimming. And then Daniel said to me one day, "Oh, I want to break the world record." And I said, "Okay, well, let's go about putting that dream together." So we set about a plan there, a long-term plan. He's bust the plan open by making Tokyo, and it was always about Paris and then on to LA. So it was, he obsessed about it. He, in a good way, like, you know, he always had that balance, but he always had that belief in himself. Fantastic, unshakable belief. And he looked at everyone else. I remember one time, actually, I brought him to Barcelona to the Mare Nostrum, and he sat down beside one of the top Australians, and he said, "Oh my God, guess who sat beside me?" And I said, this was in the call room, and I said, "Who's that?" And he said his name. I can't remember offhand now, but I said, "Oh, does he have two arms?" And he went, "Yeah." I said, "Does he have two legs?" He said, "Yeah." I says, "So go smash him." So he always had that attitude about seeing these famous swimmers.
You'll be there tonight. And as we've been saying, you know, Daniel seems to be very composed. Will you be nervous?
No. I won't. I'm maybe closer to the time. I'm not at the moment. If you're watching the commentary, I'll be the one that's doing the loud whistling. I'll be trying to whistle loud enough that he'll be able to hear me. Just know he's just a once in a generational swimmer.
And that was Martin McGann, who coached Daniel Whiffen in Lisburn. And the very best of luck to them all tonight.